Thank you. We've come pretty far. We know now how to deal with different devices, different viewports, different resolutions. Some even have an idea how to deal with different picture sizes, and responsive design seems to have come a long way. In some ways, actually not, because as Jeremy has pointed out several times, it was all there from the start. You know, you look at the first website, it's responsive. And what I'm going to tell you in the next 20 minutes is sort of a similar thing. What I say, most people will have heard, right-side columns are difficult. You should prioritize content from top to bottom. Maybe starting with mobile is a good idea. Be flexible in structuring your website. These are all not new things, but I try to put them in a shape where, you know, certain aspects of that, what I call the container system, becomes more clear and useful. So it's not a new method of doing information architecture. It's not the silver bullet. It's not going to change everything. It's not going to make information architecture any more or much more fun. Information architecture is a horribly boring, depressing. The only difference is that when you do it with the container system, it's a little bit like cleaning your kitchen, where, you know, when you're done, you actually feel you've achieved something and you've not just made a lot of file compromises. I feel that as much as we have become flexible, more flexible technically and in terms of visual design, we still have one discipline that is very sturdy and static and, you know, feels like a straitjacket, which is information architecture. Now, we've seen all these pictures where people are invited into a gray room with a big whiteboard and a lot of post-its, and everybody's smiling and having a great time. Sorting cards or, you know, building some kind of a tree, right, where every information has its place. And, you know, when the meeting is over, we go home and we go back to the office and we exchange emails on how can we fill this tree. Of course, you don't, because you start content first and you design everything in the browser. But most other people, most normal designers, they are in this situation where they, you know, define a site structure, and then somehow have to find the content to fill this structure, right? And every piece of content is in a certain place. And the deeper the tree is, often the more money you get, you know, the bigger the company and the bigger the tree. And the bigger the tree and the more levels you have, the harder it's going to be to find that content. Because from a user perspective, you know, okay, not every user starts from the homepage, but sometimes it happens that when you read a nice article, you say, like, what kind of company, what kind of site is that? You go to the homepage to get some orientation. Some people go to the homepage, and if they are so interested in a certain kind of content and they don't use Google, because no one uses a site search, we don't trust that as much as Google, which is ironic or tragic. But if you try to find information through the navigation system, which is an exception, but which happens, you're in the situation where you have to make these A/B decisions. I'm looking for Biedermeier sofa on eBay. So do I start with furniture or do I start with antiques? Right? Because, well, if I start with furniture, maybe, as the navigation suggests, maybe there are no antiques in there. Or is it mirrored? You know, is it redundant? And then it would be not so clean. So when you build an information architecture, often you are in this situation where you have to take a random decision and say, the Biedermeier sofa is under antiques, because it's more important for a Biedermeier sofa to be antique than being a sofa. This is the kind of ridiculous decisions you take. And then you say, oh, it's not ridiculous, because what we do is engineering, and engineering is not about a perfect solution, it's about the best compromise. And the Biedermeier sofa is first of all an antique. And whenever someone takes this kind of authority when we talk about information architecture, we all feel like, yeah, that's not our Batman there. That's not good ethics. This is just random obnoxiousness, right? But we're often forced to take these decisions because we have this information architecture that starts with the homepage and then goes down a little bit like a human, you know, figure like this. And has, and the more levels it has, the more depressed we are when we're done with it. Now, I know that for you it's all different because you have all the contents right away and you design this in the browser. It's very easy. Never. That could, and then you're all a little bit like Batman. But most people are not. And most other. But so how can we solve this? Can we get rid of this sturdy tree structure? Can we chop that tree? Because that would be nice. That would somehow be similar to what we've done with layout questions, right? You know, some people try to get rid of navigation altogether. It's difficult. It's difficult because, you know, if something's usable or not also depends a lot on, you know, common practice. And, you know, we're used to a navigation, so it's probably better to have one for now. I would never advocate, no, never, no navigation. Not exactly the soup Nazi, but less navigation is definitely good. You know, less is definitely more. It's easier to orient yourself if you don't have 20 notions on that news site. But, you know, if you have news and then maybe sports, finance, entertainment, digital for us. But, you know, it starts getting random. You don't need 20 notions to structure a navigation of a news site. But for some reason, it is like that. Why do news sites have these extensive navigations? I designed, I don't know, 20 news sites and structured 20 news sites. And I can tell you exactly why. Because the editors that are in charge of each section, they know exactly that when I come into the house, they have to be there and be really, really angry and pissed off. And they have to work against, you know, the marketer and against everybody else to be really loud because it's that meeting where it's decided how much traffic they get. You know, if they get the navigation point, they automatically get a space on the homepage as well. Because that's what we do. We do not only make a stupid tree, a static structure for the navigation, we also often take this navigation and just mirror it on the page. You know, it's what we often do. That you don't, because, but most people do that. It's like a web news site starts with the you know, politics or news section, then you have sports, and then you have entertainment, and yeah, there is most read and stuff on the right side column that no one ever looks at anyway, but, and there is some advertisement too that those see without the ad blocker, and now it gets cozy. It's probably an editor in charge of the light. It's enough. Or is the 20 minutes over already before I told you? Ah, here we go. I don't know. So anyway, so the reason is politics, right? Because of the police, everybody wants to be on the homepage. Nobody's thinking about whether this makes sense. Because we all assume there's only one way to sort files, that is in a folder system where things are just, you know, arranged in this linear system. But actually, it's not necessary. You can do it differently. And that, and it, and once you've seen it, it's completely obvious. You do not need to mirror the navigation. Keep it as small as possible, and then think about an alternative vertical structure. You know, you can have a container on a news site on the very top that says what? Top news. And it doesn't matter if it's a politics or if England has won the World Cup in 2200 or something. You can have any kind of content in top news. It's completely fine, right? And then you can have a container that says, since it's World Cup now, it says World Cup, and you save yourself a navigation point that says World Cup up there because it's right there, right? It's a big container. And you can reuse this container, and that's why it's called container, on the sports site and on an article page. And you can even use the top container on the sports sites. Not on the top, but on the bottom, because if there's nothing interesting in sports, maybe it's good to have the top news on the bottom of the sports site. So it goes on. You have a container called people. You have a container called most read, and you give it enough space. You don't put it somewhere on the right where nobody really knows how important is that now. You put it on, you give it the full width. You give the most read and the most commented section the full width. And this makes things quite easy. You actually eventually have to give the advertiser some space too. It's just the reality. But also you don't try to negotiate some weird space here and one there and one there and then one in between. But you say you have a big container, again, for the full width. And, you know, depending on our prioritization, which is very clear and very easy, just as on mobile, there's number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. And there is not, yeah, maybe on the right side, but not as big or something. It's a very clear prioritization, which is impossible if you have columns. And that's the other principle for container-based design, as you might have noticed, no columns. It's over with the columns. We've tried it and we failed. It doesn't work. Columns don't work. And I'm not saying, you know, graphically that you can put content next to each other. That's fine if the content is comparable. So if you have top news, you can put, you know, the top football news next to the top political news, next to the top, you know, financial news. If it's the same category, it's okay. But you cannot mix completely different kinds of contents next to each other because it screws with the user's mind. It's very hard to know, to assess, you know, what the actual travel path of a user's eye would be if you have content next to each other. And then it highly depends on what content it is. Because what usually happens, if you give a very angry editor just a little tiny container next to the top news, he puts, you know, naked Brad Pitt or Kim Kardashian coming out of the pool there to, you know, compete with the bigger module. So no more columns. And that's something that is, in these 20 minutes, very hard to explain because there is this but, you know, you are allowed to have different teasers next to each other if they belong to the same container. But you have to forget about this layout where you have, you know, all kinds of wirrwarr, as we say in German, tohu wabohu, of different kinds of containers that somehow look nice, but that don't give you a clear guidance and that are completely against a prioritization. You know, what we like or what I like most about mobile design is not that it gives me the liberty to say, well, actually, dear client, you know, there are professionals to deal with responsive design. You know, we do mobile and tablet and website. We have everything in our mind and you can't do that. And what I like most about it is that it forces them to prioritize content. And, you know, often clients get annoying when you go to the desktop version because they say, like, oh, wait, now we have columns and I can, you know, negotiate some space. If you say, no, every website is structured in a horizontal way, you know, there's container A, container B, container C. It's much easier. And the beauty of this is, like I said, that you do not only have a clear prioritization, it's not only fully responsive from the go with this vertical orientation. You can design each container and it will work on every page that you want to. It will work on every device that you want to because you design these individual modules. And you are freed of the situation where a certain element only appears within a distinct place within your hierarchy. So this leads you to a situation where on an article page, you can actually build your own context-sensitive start page. That means first content, you have the navigation. It's also called a container. It's the navigation. The second container is the article page. And there is no noise on the side. Now, a lot of newspapers have learned that. It's not a big problem anymore. But with the container system, you can't feature a million other things on the side. It fucks with the people's mind. No one likes that. No one clicks that. It's just there because of politics. And the container system, if you're able to explain it a bit better than me with a bit more time and maybe some graphics, it will allow you to avoid all this, you know, strong-arming that usually goes on. The next container is the comment container. The next container is the related articles container. And if it's a sport article, you will have the top news sports. and then you will have the top news of the whole site. Now you can say, well, okay, it might work for news. I can kind of imagine that the same teasers can be used throughout the news site, but what about e-commerce? What about e-commerce? Well, we actually developed this with an e-commerce site. What about a corporate site, right? A corporate site is very clear, right? You have about us, then you have a portfolio, and then you have contact, and then maybe a blog, right? This is very distinct. It's established structure, and there is no such things as a doubt where to find a study case. Well, actually, there is, because a study case, as you know, makes a lot of sense, can make a lot of sense under About Us, where you need to explain an example, right? So to have a container with that you can use with study cases in About Us makes as much sense as in the blog, as in, maybe not in the contact page, but the contact element makes sense also on every page. So, now I said in the beginning, you can't use this as a silver bullet, and as a matter of fact, you have to be very careful, and you have to, use this intelligently. But I haven't encountered many cases where the container model doesn't work. So just a quick check. Was it in any way clear what I said, or? Okay, always from the laughter, you never know, but at least it was entertaining. What I'm saying, again, is that you have to chop the tree and forget about the static information architecture where a certain information has a certain place within a tree. And the way you do it is by having two vectors. You keep your main navigation, it's good for orientation and people expect it, and it gives you some safety, gives you a safety net. But then additionally, you have a second vector with a completely different way to categorize content. And you're quite free to do that. It actually is a little bit more fun because you can think about your content in a completely different way. It's also fun because it's often shocking to the client, when you tell a newspaper client, you don't need a sports container, you don't need a news container on your homepage, they're speechless, right? Even The Guardian was not convinced right from the start. But when you show the possibilities you have with the different category that allows you to move these containers also horizontally throughout the site, it becomes, if you have a slightly nerdy tendency, it becomes kind of fun, like cleaning up the kitchen, because you're not in the same situation anymore where you've made this file compromise and you get a lot of response, like, where is this section? I couldn't find that information. You get better statistical results. I mean, the success of the container system for Freitag was phenomenal. With The Guardian, it's still in beta. We have to see what happens there. But so far, we've had very good results. I think my 20 minutes are over. Thank you.